Today on More to Life, your emotional best. Discover how you can have a healthier emotional life. We'll help you get there. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to marry.
Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on this fine Monday edition of More to Life, we are talking about your emotional best, helping you get on top of those feelings that tend to get you down. If you'd like to have a healthier emotional life or deal more effectively with the emotions of the people around you, this show is for you. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Well, Craig, I know you're going to, you know, talk with our listeners in a few minutes about emotions and feelings and theology of the body, and I think they'll learn a lot through what you lead them through in the first few minutes of the show, but really, we got to get real from the get-go about what feelings can really do to us, you know, because we take the stuff that life throws at us, the stuff people put us through, and we go off in our heads about them, and we create a future in our heads, whether it's a minute ahead or, you know, 20, 30 years ahead, and it can freak us out, it can depress us, mm-hmm. It can wreck our day, it can create arguments with us and other people. So let me give you an example of this. So the idea of, okay, like you're a parent, right? And your kid does something obnoxious or wrong. And in your mind,
that
perhaps...
That could never happen, by the way.
No.
Ever, no.
No, especially in our family.
Oh, of course not.
Never happen.
At a Popchak house. Are you kidding me?
Right. And there's a tone of voice or an action that grates on you, and without evaluating it, without asking any questions, you go to, I'll just speak for myself, that place where you're saying, this child is defiant. This child is intentionally being disrespectful to me. And your emotions go through the roof. You can feel your blood pressure rise. You can come up with 5,000 punishments that will annihilate this kid in about a split second in your brain. Your facial expression changes. Perhaps you start yelling or stalking off. This happened in about a millisecond in your brain. And that's just one example of the thousands of ways our feelings can just take our day, wad it up like a piece of paper, and stamp on it. And you started the day, you know, praying to God, asking for grace, and then you had to deal with life, whether it's the boss or the kid or the spouse or the guy who cut you off in traffic. Our feelings can take us to a place in our day that just wrecks our day, or stresses our relationships, or weakens our faith in God and our relationship with Him. Nobody wants to live that way. So whether you're dealing with your own feelings or somebody else doing that to you, where your spouse just goes off on you, that kid has a temper tantrum, the boss interprets things the wrong way, whatever that is, we're here to help you deal with all of this and bring the grace of God into it so that you can change this with God's grace and overcome it.
Because, you know, I think that the message that we tend to get from a lot of other Christians is, you know, that somehow in order to be good Christians, we have to deny our feelings somehow, right? Because most people make a god out of their emotions, and so the Christian response is to pretend we don't have any feelings. Well, that's not the answer, right? But what is? Well, we'll talk about that. Right now, we're asking you to join the conversation. What people or situations tend to cause your emotions to run away with you? When do you find it hard to deal with other people's emotional reactions? How are your own feelings, or other people's, complicating your life. We're talking about that and more today on More to Life, where our show is titled Your Emotional Best, and we're helping you discover how you can have a healthier emotional life as we kick off the week. Coming to this whole question of emotions and what do Christians do with their feelings from the perspective of the theology of the body, we need to recognize, this is sort of a biological fact, right? Because the theology of the body kind of teaches us that that biology is theology.
Yeah,
because God's speaking to us through our bodies, right?
Yeah.
Well, biologists will tell us that emotions and feelings are two different things. We tend to talk about them, you know, we use those words interchangeably, but technically they're different things. So brain scientists will tell you that an emotion is sort of the body's monitoring station, right? Emotions represent the primitive brain's kind of general collective sense, both of our overall state of well-being and the circumstances in our environment, right? So, you know, stuff happens around us or even inside of us, and molecules shift all over the place, and our lower brain kind of checks those different patterns. And it says, okay, that's this emotion. This pattern means that emotion. That pattern means this other emotion, right? Well, emotions, though, become feelings when our cortex, our higher brain, gathers those general impressions, those patterns, and creates a story about what those impressions mean.
Like I was saying earlier, that idea of your kid does something obnoxious and suddenly you've got, he's defiant, he did it intentionally, he's out to get me, whatever that is. There's the creation of the story, and it takes a blip to make it happen.
That's right. So what the kid does creates this sort of molecular action program in your body that moves feeling, moves emotions around, and then you tell yourself a story about what those patterns means. My kid's defiant, and then it causes that angry reaction, right? So that's how the feeling, the emotion becomes a feeling. Well, because of sin, we often do a poor job of evaluating those emotional impressions and developing stories and responses to those impressions that both work for our good and the good of others. So the theology of the body reminds us that just like the rest of our bodies, emotions, feelings can only do what they were designed to do. They can help us recognize what's happening in and around us and help us respond to that in godly, effective ways if we learn to bring our emotions and feelings to God and ask Him to teach us how to understand them and respond to them. An emotion or a feeling is not a call to action, boys and girls. It's a call to prayer. And I think that tip alone is worth the price of admission, because it can change your life. If you stop seeing your emotions as a call to action, and you recognize that your emotions are God's gift to you, not everybody else, and you see those not as a call to action, but a call to prayer, it can change everything. But we're going to unpack that more throughout the course of the program. Give us a call. Tell us what people or situations tend to cause your emotions to run away with you. When do you find it difficult to deal with other people's emotional reactions? How are your own feelings or other people's feelings complicating your life? We want to help you simplify things and live your emotional best. Today on More to Life, 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the gift of emotions. We recognize that as part of our bodies, our emotions were created to work for our good, and that when united with your grace, we can hear your voice speaking to us through our feelings, helping us become more aware of what's going on around us and how you want us to respond to it. But Lord, because of sin, our feelings are all out of whack sometimes, and we have a hard time understanding what you're trying to say to us, and more importantly, how to respond to it. And so, Lord, we give you our feelings today. Our sadness, our anger, our anxiety, our frustration, all those feelings that are hard to deal with in ourselves and others. And we ask you to unite them with your grace so that we can respond to our emotions in ways that glorify you, that work for your good, our good, the good of those around us, and help us to bring our emotions in line with your intentions for our lives so that we can be everything we were created to be. The saints that you see when you look at us. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, your emotional best, We're helping you discover how you can have a healthier emotional life. Give us a call and share what people or situations are causing your emotions to run away with you. When do you find it hard to deal with other people's emotional reactions? How are your feelings or other people's complicating your life? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with our very first listener this morning, who's calling from West Virginia.
Hey, listener in West Virginia, welcome to Word of Life. What's up?
Thank you so much for taking my call. I was wondering if you all could give me some guidance about a situation with my sister. She is getting ready to get married this upcoming summer, and her fiancé, you know, shares her values, is a good, strong Catholic, but she's been expressing some doubts to me about their personalities, just wondering if he's truly the right one. You know, she's kind of a lot of emotional doubt. You know, logically, she knows he'll make a good husband, but, you know, she says that she worries that, you know, they're not compatible, that they're a little too...
Meaning what exactly? I mean, how exactly are they not compatible
sure.
in her eyes?
Well, she said that he's a little, you know, he's a bit shy, a little bit awkward. She really, you know, is kind of a social butterfly and enjoys people and, you know, likes to have parties and things, and he seems much more, you know, satisfied with kind of being a homebody and
okay.
You know, things like that, that they're just a little different. She said, you know, that they're attracted to each other, but she just sometimes feels that they don't have the emotional chemistry that, you know, perhaps she's wanting. And she's asked me and my mom, yes, we've had doubts before our marriages. I've been married a few years, and both of us said no, that we didn't, you know, have... you know, we were a little nervous about the wedding itself, just, you know, standing up in front of people and things. But, you know, she's been asking me a lot of pointed questions about that, and I was wondering if you could give me some guidance.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, so the first thing, and the most important thing, is obviously you can't tell her what to do, but you can go to the person who, you can help her go to the person who can tell her what to do. And I want you to encourage her to be praying about it on her own and with her fiancé. You know, as Catholics, we have a tendency to forget the importance of couple prayer, right? And in fact, very few marriage preparation programs even teach couple prayer. But really, learning how to pray together and seek God's will for your relationship is a basic and important skill that the couple should be doing even when they're dating, right? You know, Lord, bless our relationship and help us to know what your will is for our lives together. You know, I know what I want. He knows what he wants. We, you know, we kind of think we know what we want. But what do you want for us? Help us to know that. And really be not just saying that prayer, but really listening to God. And we talk about how to do all that, by the way, in our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love. And it might be a good idea to hook her up with that book, just as a way of kind of learning how to pray about these concerns and see what God might be saying to her through that, and pray together with her fiancé about those concerns. The second, more kind of psychological piece of advice that I'll share with you to give to her is that, you know, yes, husbands and wives are different people, newsflash, right? That's in and of itself not a big deal. The real issue is how much is a person dedicated to their own comfort zone. You know, the number one problem in marriage is that we all have a tendency to love our own comfort zones more than we love our spouse.
So in this particular situation, how that applies is if her fiancé, boyfriend, whatever his status is right now, is saying, well, no, I will never go out on a Saturday night. No, I just want to sit here and play my video games. No, I don't want to go out. You go by yourself. Or, flip side of that, if she never wants to just stay home and hold his hand and spend time with him, she always has to go out. She always has to run around. Neither's ever willing to work out. Well, this Saturday night we'll stay home and hang out together and just, you know, have popcorn and a movie. Next Saturday night we'll go out with our friends, and they work toward each other's personalities better. They're not just sticking their feet in the mud and saying, no, this is who I am and don't ask me to change.
Right.
That's
a
being married to your comfort zone.
Exactly. A relationship like this requires a couple to love each other more than their comfort zones and see that God brought them together, not just because he has a warped sense of humor, but because he's challenged them both to grow in ways that they'd probably not grow if they were left to their own devices, right? So for a relationship like this to work, they've got to be comfortable having conversations like, you know, I know you really want to go out, but I just need to figure out some time that I can kind of recharge my batteries because I'm feeling really overwhelmed by all the stuff that happened this week. So when can we make that happen? You know, so you're not saying, no, I'm not going to go out. You're saying we can do that, but I also need this, right? Or, they're having a conversation about, I know you love to be around lots of people, and I want to be with you in that, but I kind of, let's talk about what we need to do to help me be a little more comfortable there because I get really flummoxed with small talk.
I'll be glad to go out, but if you could hang close and make sure you reintroduce me to people and bring up a topic so that I'm not doing all that extra work. Anything like that where they are talking about it, praying about it, and working towards solutions together that will make both of them comfortable and both of them happy in the situation, that's a relationship that can move forward and cause each to grow in a way that God wants that person to grow. God may have put them together in a way that says to your sister, hey, I really want you to appreciate, the quiet and a more intimate relationship in life where it's one-on-one and you're getting to know this person better, and that's why he's in your life more. And I want him to be able to grow in his personality and his ability to appreciate, lots of other people, and that's one of the reasons you're in his life. If they're willing to do that for each other, this can really work. If they both are saying, no, this is who I am, and if you love me, you won't ask me to change, that's a big red flag.
And the way this works is that both your sister and her husband, and this goes for any listeners out there, you have to make God your first spouse. Right?
Amen.
God is your first spouse. Your spouse is your second spouse, so to speak. Right? In other words, you're continually giving your life, your desires, your relationship to God and doing what he wants you to do and seeing the differences that exist between the two of you as an invitation from God to grow in ways that you'd never grow if you were on your own. If you can see it that way and pray through that together and work really hard to respond to that invitation God is giving you through the desires that your spouse has, you're going to have a great relationship even if you are very different people. But if you can't do that, and you love your comfort zone more than you love your spouse, and you don't make God your first spouse, so you don't see his call to you through your mate as an invitation, but rather as an oppression, because it's making me be somebody I'm not, well, then you're going to have a horrible relationship, no matter who you marry. Okay? So that's what I'd suggest counseling your sister through. We talk about more of this in both Praying For and With Your Spouse, and also our book, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage. Those are two great resources that you could offer to her as a way of helping her see her marriage in this light that we're talking about here, that will enable her to see those differences, potentially anyway, as an opportunity for growth and a better what God is calling them to. Thanks so much for the call. We are talking with you today about your emotional best. We're helping you live your best emotional life today on More to Life. What people or situations tend to cause your feelings to run away with you? When do you find it hard to deal with other people's emotional reactions? How are your own feelings, or those feelings of other people, complicating your life? Let's talk it out and find some ways to simplify things on this Monday. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls and Bill Donahue from the Theology of the Body Institute when More to Life continues after the break.
You don't think it'll happen to you twice. First, it was a fire. My agent was right there and helped me rebuild. Then the tornado destroyed everything again. Both times, my independent agent and auto owners took care of me like someone takes care of family.
For whatever lies ahead, we're always there. Auto Owners Insurance.
For your no-obligation quote, please call Choice Insurance at 734-641-4200.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. The Catholic faith has enemies. We're Catholics. We have enemies. They are a danger to the faith. And yet we're called to defend the faith, to instruct the ignorant, and to love our enemies. These enemies abuse divine revelation, they abuse science and religion, they abuse our history and our past, they abuse power and wealth. We have to learn how to deal with our enemies by picking up a copy of my book, Dangers to the Faith. You can find it online at AveMariaRadio.net.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax-deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Are you looking for an affordable option for your health care? Do you feel compelled to support pro-life efforts in our country? Then now is the time for you to join CMF Curo. CMF Curo is the country's first healthcare sharing experience that engages church teachings by offering truly pro-life healthcare. CMF Curo members experience healthcare that's ethically consistent with church teachings and rooted in Catholic community. Learn more about CMF Curo and find Catholic healthcare options at mycatholichealthcare.com.
Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Today, your emotional best. We're helping you discover how you can have a healthier, more grace-filled emotional life. Let's stop being afraid of our emotions or letting our emotions run away with us. Instead, let's figure out what God is saying to us through our feelings and how He wants us to respond to those situations that are triggering those feelings. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute is here to talk to us about what the Theology of the Body can teach us about managing our emotions gracefully. Bill, welcome to More to Life.
Good morning to you, Bill. Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you here with us. And you know, let's start with the scriptures. You know, you were sharing over the break that there's a scripture verse that you like to reflect on that really informs this conversation about what God wants us to do with our emotions.
Yes, it's one that I've always loved, and it's one of those go-to scripture verses. It's from Psalm 46, and it is, "Be still and know that I am God." And I think that in the chaos of life sometimes, a verse like that is very attractive to many of us. Even if we don't feel so good when we say it, we know that we're good if we're still and resting in God.
You know, when people hear that, though, you know, about being still and know that I'm God or resting in God, I think a lot of folks think that means you shouldn't have big, strong, scary emotions. You should just be in this sort of blissed out state of peace all the time, and that's where you'll know that God is God. But I guess what I take from that scripture is that whatever you're feeling, you should just bring it to God, whether it's anger or sadness or anxiety or whatever. Instead of running around like a chicken with your head cut off, the first thing you need to do is go to God and say, "Okay, God, what do you want me to do with this?" What do you think?
Yes. Yeah, it is not at all about running into a blissful nirvana, a place where you don't feel, but it actually, the feelings are heightened. You become more sensitive, in a sense, to the reality that surrounds you, but you're more grounded at the same time. I mean, think of Christ, right? John Paul's famous and favorite quote from Guy Vincent Spez: "Jesus Christ fully reveals man to himself and makes his supreme calling clear." Jesus felt everything. Jesus groans at the pains of the suffering. Jesus weeps. Jesus rejoices in the Father. So he is still and grounded in being the beloved Son, as we heard yesterday's gospel, right? He's the beloved Son, and he still feels it all, but he's at peace in it all. It's a powerful kind of a Catholic paradox, isn't it, that we can feel it and yet be still in it.
Yeah, it's a both-and, and I think, you know, Christianity really is one of those both-and faiths, you know, that challenges us, in this case, you know, to feel whatever we are feeling, angry, sad, frustrated, happy, for that matter, but still know that God is God and in control, and if we bring it to him, it's all going to work. So I guess what you're kind of speaking to, though, is what the Theology of the Body refers to as receptivity, a sort of state of receptivity. Could you speak to what that is exactly?
Yes, receptivity is a posture, so to speak, of mind, body, soul before God that knows, right, intellectually and in the heart, that we're loved, and in the end, all shall be well. Mary is the perfect icon of this receptivity, and even in the Gospels, right, Mary felt all these things and contemplated them in her heart. So Mary senses all the things. The mysteries of the Rosary are her life, but she takes them in receptivity and interprets God's plan in that kind of peace. Mary is certainly an icon for us, I think, when we talk about emotional equilibrium and peace.
You know, and again, you know, the angel Gabriel appears to her and says, you know, you're going to have a baby, even though you aren't married and you don't know man, you're going to have a baby who's going to be the savior of the world. And, you know, she's freaked out like any of us.
Yeah,
right?
She really says that very clearly. Yeah. She was troubled in her heart.
But what does she do? Right. She brings it to God and she says, whatever your will is, Lord. And that's our model right there. It's not denying your feelings. It's not pretending you don't have them. And it's certainly not running away with them. It's bringing it to God and being receptive to what he's saying to you through that. Bill, thanks so much for that. If folks would like to learn more about the good work of the Theology of the Body Institute, where can they turn for more information?
Sure. Jump on tobinstitute.org or hit us on social media at tobinstitute.
tobinstitute.org or on social media at tobinstitute. Bill Donahue, thank you so much for being with us today. Always a pleasure to talk with you, sir.
Thank you, Bill. God bless.
Yeah, our son Jacob actually just completed the TOB3 course that they just had this past week.
Bill all this with this last week.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
So we're talking with you today about your emotional best. You know, maybe you were hearing what Bill was saying, and you know, it rang a bell. It sounds good on paper, you know, but you're thinking, yeah, pop checks, that's all nice and everything, but you don't know my situation. You know, you don't know my kid. You don't know what my spouse does to me. You don't know what that coworker does that drives me crazy for that.
You don't know what my own mind does to me when I have to deal with this, or what that person in my life is doing in their mind that then I have to clean up after.
Those are the worst.
It's really rough.
That's right. So if you're dealing with any of that or anything like it, we want to help you find that graceful, receptive place where you don't have to run away from your emotions or let your emotions run away with you. Instead, let's find ways to help you bring those feelings to God and be receptive enough to hear what he's trying to say through your feelings and ask you to do in response to your feelings. 877-573-7825. Stick around. More Life coming up after the break.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria mutual funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hey, Bill. I was looking at retiring soon, but I don't know what to do about filing for Social Security or what to do with my 401k.
Jim, you should call Joe Vitale at American Retirement Advisors. He helped us roll over a 401k to Catholic values-based investments, as well as helped us with our Social Security planning to maximize our benefit. You can give him a call at 855-756-5700 or go to his website at aradvisorsinc.com.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
2020 promises to be another busy year for Pope Francis in the Vatican. In addition to the long-awaited report on Theodore McCarrick, Catholics are awaiting Pope Francis's post-synodal apostolic exhortation on the Pan-Amazonian Synod. Edward Penton joins us from the National Catholic Register to discuss these and other important stories for Catholics in the coming year.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Hi, this is Lisa Popcheck. Arguments between siblings are inevitable. We all want our children to develop strong bonds. But to do this, it's important to remember the healthiest sibling relationships begin from day one. And I do mean day one. Allow your older child to play some role in a new baby's birth. The status quo is to ship the older sibling off to some relative's house until the new baby comes home. But allowing your older child to participate in some way will solidify your older and younger child's place in the family and their relationship with one another. Whether that's cutting the cord, cuddling their sibling soon after birth, or helping give baby its first bath, we've found that if the older child is involved in some way, the baby will be better received, and you will lay a solid foundation for a healthy relationship. For more tips on how to foster healthy family life, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, your emotional best. We're helping you have a graceful, healthier emotional life. What people or situations are causing you to have your feelings run away with you? When do you find it difficult to deal with other people's emotional reactions? Or how are your own feelings or other people's emotional reactions complicating your life? We're here to talk about all that and more today on the show. 877-573-7825.
And just to let you guys know, there's a brand new resource I have for you out there. It's called momfidence.org. That's momfidence.org. And today there's a brand new blog and podcast up on momfidence.org that will really hit home for all you moms out there who might be dealing with some of these feelings in your life. It's all about what to do and how to keep your confidence as a mom when you've got crabby kids, no matter how old those crabby kids are. That's there for you. So look for it at momfidence.org and follow me on Instagram and Facebook at momfidence.org/official. That's Momfidence Official. We'll be giving you little tips and nuggets through, you know, the course of the week. That's just going to help you feel like a more confident mom and keep your peace and develop a community there where you can feel like you're not alone in this mom thing, no matter what age or stage you are at as a mom. Whether that's starting out or you've been doing it for like 75 years, if you're a mom, this is a space for you.
It's a terrific resource. I know that lots of people have been asking for more from Lisa for a long time, and she finally carving out the time to make it happen. I couldn't be prouder of what she's doing, and it's great stuff. So check it out, momfidence.org. With that, let's go back to the phones at 877-573-7825.
And we're talking with Bill, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio.
Hi there, Bill. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
My wife of 35 years just left me as the first of the year.
I'm so sorry.
And I've been having a tough time dealing with my emotions and the ups and downs and the thinking that I've been having. And I am an alcoholic. I recognize that I am most to blame for what's happening. I've never been abusive physically, but I'm beginning to realize and recognize how I've not been there in the right way for my family. I'm close to my church, and I'm working to be closer to Jesus. Our youngest son is in a seminary, and I'm just having a tough time here.
So Bill, and it says on the board, I mean, just like you said, that you're an alcoholic and that you don't blame your wife for leaving you because you recognize the things that you did to kind of poison the marriage. But I guess I have to ask you, you know, what are you doing at this point to deal with your alcoholism and the other issues that you're recognizing in yourself?
Well, I stopped drinking about 2 days after this happened, and I've been going to multiple meetings in Alcoholics Anonymous.
Good for
you. I have a sponsor. I have a home group. Yesterday I went to 3 meetings because I went to 1 meeting, and it was very good, and I stayed and vacuumed the carpet, things I've never done in meetings. I've always been the last one there and the first one out in the past when I made my attempts. And anyhow, that's what's happening today. I have an appointment with a counselor that my priest recommended after I spoke with him. And
phenomenal.
That's what's going on.
Bill, you're doing all the right things and reaching out for help, and I can't commend you enough. I mean, look, it's a tough road. And, you know, right now, I know you know it's a tough road. Right now, it's going to be a little bit easier just because, you know, she's lowered the boom and you're running a little bit scared. And in that initial phase, it's a little bit easier to stick with that stuff. When you have a couple of bad meetings or a couple of bad days, that's when it gets hard to stick with it.
For two bad minutes, yeah. It's hard.
So keep going, all right? Keep going to the meetings. And when you feel like not going, then go to another one, okay? When you feel like not showing up for therapy, show up anyway.
I really want to highlight that. That is true for you, Bill, and for anyone who is trying to achieve the next step in their lives. When you feel like you don't want to, that is Satan trying to keep you from getting the next step accomplished. So do it, and do it with more gusto. And really just, you know, say to him out loud, I'm not going to let you do this to me. I am going. I am defying this feeling, and I am going to that meeting. I am calling my sponsor. I am getting to a counseling session. Whatever that is we struggle with, on the days our feelings say, you're too tired, it'll never work, whatever those negative voices are that Satan's throwing at us to make us not feel like it, do it 20 more fold.
Yeah. The other thing I'm going to say is, at this stage of the game, a lot of people in your situation kind of can get into that place where, you know, they feel like, oh, it's pointless because, you know, my wife isn't taking my calls, or, you know, it doesn't look like we're going to get back together, or I don't know if it'll ever work again. And then they get discouraged because they're doing it to save the marriage. They're not really doing it to save themselves. And if you're going to save this marriage, and I don't know if it can be saved, I hope it can. We'll certainly add you guys to our Mortal Life prayer list. But if you're going to save this marriage, it's going to be because you're asking God for the grace to save yourself and to be as sober and healthy for God and for you. Because doing it for her or for the marriage isn't going to work long term. You've got to be doing it for you. So keep that in mind as you're going forward.
You know, one of the questions you're asking here, Bill, is how to deal with the guilt of this being your fault. For it to be healthy, godly guilt, you have to do and continue to do exactly what you've started doing, which is saying, wow, I am recognizing that I have fault in this, that this is hugely partly my fault. So I'm going to change all those things that I feel guilty about. I am going to get sober. I am going to work a program. I am going to be a more reliable person. I am going to be a kinder person to my wife. I am going to all of those things that when you do an examination of conscience, you feel guilty about, you're going to use that to motivate you to continue to do better, to get yourself to confession, to continue your program, to really do this not just for your marriage, not even just for yourself, but even in reparation to Christ for all the times where you made alcohol an idol in your life. So there's so much here where that guilt can be a good and wonderful thing, as long as you don't let Satan take you and drag you down because of it.
I want to just quickly second the idea of confession. Weekly confession is going to be critical for your ongoing recovery here with this as well. Now, building on what Lisa just said about guilt, godly guilt, healthy guilt from God, does two things. It convicts us, but then moves us forward to a plan. It says, okay, Greg, you really blew this, but here's what I want you to do about it, right? So there's a sense of hope that's contained in that kind of godly guilt that says, I messed this up, but here's what I'm going to do to make it right, and here's what I'm going to do to open my heart to that transformative grace. Neurotic guilt, or the guilt that Satan sometimes puts on us, what we might call scruples, okay, that's the guilt that causes us to wallow and say, oh, I'm such a terrible person. I've ruined everything. There's no hope for me. What's the point of going to my meeting today? What's the point of going to counseling? Nothing's going to work. That's all Satan, okay? So that's really, let's call it what it is, satanic guilt. What St. Ignatius called a desolation. It's that guilt that separates us from God and God's call to us. Godly guilt always convicts, but immediately moves us toward a hopeful plan. So really be careful to watch out for that desolation of scruples, of neurotic guilt that causes you to wallow in the sin and wallow in the damage that's been done. Instead, Bill, I want you to keep your eyes focused on God. That's one of the reasons that weekly confession is going to be really important. Keep going to those meetings. Keep going to the counseling. Keep reminding yourself that this is about God calling you to be a healthier, godlier man so that he can do wonderful things in your future. God bless you, Bill. Thank you for having the courage to face your recovery here. We've added you and your wife to our More to Life prayer list, and if there's anything we can do to support you in your journey beyond this, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or at CatholicCounselors.com. We're taking your calls today about your best emotional life. What can we do to help you get on top of those feelings that are trying to bury you? 877-573-7825. If you're having a hard time with your emotions or dealing with other people's emotional reactions, we're here to help.
Let's talk now with Catherine, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi there, Catherine. Welcome to More to Life.
Good morning, Greg and Lisa. You are such a gift to the church and to the world
you.
And all of us.
That's a sweet thing to say.
Program
just well, what can we do
really
for you today?
Nails it, and my grown children are so impressed since I've been listening to you at the incredible growth that they see in their mom, which is great. But my dilemma today, as I mentioned to your wonderful screener, Eric, is that, you know, my children are dealing with the Alzheimer's of my ex-husband. We have an annulment. And I know it's really, really hard for them. And I'm trying to be supportive at a distance because they'll go down to see him in Florida. And there's a frustration I sense in them that some of the modern research, you know, that a woman doctor, you know, said coconut oil totally healed her husband. And they want to try these holistic things. But the new wife, I don't think it's really open to any of those alternatives. So what happened last night is when I got a call from one of the girls and I was, you know, trying to listen and be attentive and supportive and loving, they are in so much pain that they're great kids. I mean, and they're very devout adults in the faith. But they'll, like, kind of throw their emotional pain at me. And I'm, you know, I'm a member of Al-Anon almost 40 years, and I know there's a lot of tools of detaching, but as a mom, as a parent, I mean, when we see our children in pain, it's like, oh, Lord, I just want to take that away, and I don't want them to, you know, like, have me feel like chopped liver when they throw all this pain at me.
Yeah.
And so I opened your book last night on Unworried, and I thought, you know, I have to really put this in perspective, because I even woke up this morning just feeling like, gosh, I cannot let my kids' emotions and their grouchiness, like, devastate me. And
sure,
it can. Like,
yeah, and you're talking about the chapter in my book Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, on relationships and how relationships can be anxiety producing and the kind of boundaries that you need to set to kind of keep your emotional stability even when other people are melting down around you.
And I have to say that, you know, really, Catherine, you're walking in a place where I think a lot of people might have just had like a little intake of breath kind of when Greg said, you know, boundaries with adult children who are hurting so badly, whose father is just turning into mist before their eyes. My mother had Alzheimer's. I know what this is like. And a lot of people may say, well, you just need to be everything to them to make up for everything they're going through. But that would not be emotionally healthy for you or for them if you just became this big target for everything they're going through.
And you know, you can't be everything for them, but somebody can. There is somebody that we know who can, and that's why it's important to set those boundaries. And when I say boundaries, I don't mean saying to them, you can't talk to me that way. I mean, sometimes there's a call for that. But in this case, what I'm going to suggest to you, Catherine, the best boundary would be to say, is to first empathize, but then lead them to God, right? You say, I am so sorry you're hurting so much. You know, I just hear the pain in your voice, and you're angry and you're hurting, and I get it. You know, sure, it hurts when you kind of take it out on me, but I understand it, okay? And I wish I could make it all go away. Let's take it to God. You know, you said they're devout. You know, so that's a beautiful thing to have faithful adult kids. You know, so use that. You know, let's take this to God. Lord, I just see my kids hurting so much. I hear the pain in their voice. They're so angry. They're so frustrated. I don't know what to do to help them, but I know that you do. And I know that you can take their anger and you can take their pain. Lord, let them beat on your chest. Let them tell you how angry they are. Let them show you how frustrated they are. But let them hear your voice and know your will. And let them see your grace leading them step by step through this really painful, agonizing situation with their dad. And let them know that you're here for them and I'm here for them too, in whatever way they need me to be. Amen. And then go and just get right back into the conversation with them, right? Just bring God into that moment. You know, let them remember that God is right there in that interaction between the two of you, caring for them, loving them, leading them to a more graceful space. And I think that's the kind of boundary that you need to set here. Rather than letting them beat on your chest, because you have nothing to do about it, you can't do it, let them beat on God's. And by the way, any listener out there who's kind of shocked at the idea of being angry at God and beating on his chest, he's a big God. He can take it, right? Remember what Jesus said, you know, no longer slaves, I call you friends. Right? A slave is afraid to tell his master what he really feels, but a friend is not. Right? God is saying, I want to know you really. I want to know where you're at. I want to be there to help you through
all the pain and all the fear and all the suffering. He's there for us, and he wants us to be really honest and really real with him, because when we do that, it opens a relationship where he can heal us, he can be closer to us, he can console us. That's a real relationship with God, not keeping him at arm's length as though he, you know, were fake. He's so real to us, and he wants to be there. And I really agree with you so wholeheartedly here, Greg, that not only is this reminding her children that they can bring all of this to God, but it's also letting them know that they can't idolize her, put her in the place of an idol where she has to take all their pain or have all their solutions. And it's also kind of very gently reminding them that they don't have to idolize their fear, their pain, or even this disease where it becomes the only center of their lives, that God wants to be present in all of this, to walk with them and comfort them and carry them through all of it.
You know, Pope Francis likes to talk a lot about accompaniment, and it breaks down into two steps, what we described here, empathy and then leading the person to God, who can really be the answer to their pain and the answer to their problems. So, Catherine, I want to thank you for being a sensitive mom. I want to thank you for being there for your kids through this. Can't be easy for you. I hope that these ideas will help you set the kind of boundaries that allow you to kind of insulate yourself a little bit from their emotional stuff, but still be sensitive, present, and helpful to your kids' healing process. God bless you, Catherine. Thanks for the call. 877-573-7825. We're talking about your emotional best today on More to Life, helping you discover how you can have a healthier, more graceful emotional life. But people or situations are causing your feelings to run away with you. Let's talk about it when More to Life continues after the break.
Are you looking for an affordable option for your health care? You feel compelled to support pro-life efforts in our country? Then now is the time for you to join CMF Curo. CMF Curo is the country's first healthcare sharing experience that engages church teachings by offering truly pro-life healthcare. CMF Curo members experience healthcare that's ethically consistent with church teachings and rooted in Catholic community. Learn more about CMF Curo and find Catholic healthcare options at mycatholichealthcare.com.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts. Questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Our individual and corporate relationships with the Lord. Our relationship to the church. The precepts of the church. Our relationships with the world and the culture that surrounds us. Father Ricardo discusses these things and more, all from a Catholic perspective, on Christ is the answer. Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Ann Arbor Smiles welcomes Dr. Patrick DiDonato and Dr. Abigail Walker to their team. Patrick is a parishioner of St. Thomas the Apostle in Ann Arbor, and Abigail is a pediatric dentist with openings available without a wait. Learn more about them at AnnArborSmiles.com. The team at Ann Arbor Smiles offers nearly every specialty in two convenient locations, including cosmetic dentistry, braces and Invisalign, and even sleep apnea. Ann Arbor Smiles provides care for the entire family. Visit AnnArborSmiles.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, then follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Your Emotional Best, as we help you discover how you can have a healthier, more graceful emotional life. What people or situations cause your feelings to run away with you? When do you find it hard to deal with other people's emotional reactions? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Carrie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
Hey there, Carrie. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Good morning. So I have a challenging situation. My parents are living with my adult brother, who's like mid-50s. My parents are almost 80. He is a drug addict and has been arrested and lost everything, essentially. Mm-hmm. And he just stays in their home and does nothing all day. So I've really tried to detach. But we're in this cycle where my mom pretends everything's great, and, oh, she just loves having him there, and, oh, we're just one big happy family. And she does that for about 3 months, and then she just can't take it anymore, and she unloads to me about how she has to do everything. She cooks, she cleans, she does their laundry, she folds their clothes. She is like their slave. Both my father and my brother are perfectly capable. And
so Dad doesn't do anything either. Now, is Dad an addict as well, or is he just sitting there?
He was an alcoholic a while ago. And he got to the point where the hangovers were too much, so he just stopped drinking cold turkey.
Okay, but he's never changed any of the behaviors.
He's a dry drunk.
No.
Okay.
No, no, no. He's cheated on my mom. He's, like, been very... Anyway, my dad's a piece of work. And what will happen is, when I say, why don't you have Dad help you with this? Well, he messes it up on purpose, so I won't ask him to do it again. And I'm like, well, you're kind of enabling him in that when you don't ask him to do it again.
Yeah.
And
so you're the family counselor, huh?
I'm totally, and I'm trying not to be. I really am. And, like, at some point I was even like, you guys really need to go see a therapist. My mom's like, great, can you help me find someone? I spent a couple hours doing research, sent them a bunch of names. And, of course, they've done nothing with it. And now she's back to everything's wonderful, life is great. And, you know, my brother has his drug addict friends come and go. They've had a prostitute in the house. I mean, it's really
crazy.
So when I hear these stories, my mom hides them. My dad likes to tell me because he's kind of the stirrer, the poop stirrer in the family, and he knows it'll upset me. So he likes to get on the phone and tell me these horror stories that my mom doesn't tell me and then get me upset. And I don't react to him because I've learned this is how he is. But when my mom tells me, I'm just like, you're enabling everything that goes on in that house. And she's like, well, I can't put your brother out or he'll kill himself, which I really don't think he would. But I'm like, you don't have to put him out. Anyway, we always...
All right, so there are two things I want you to do. Okay, there are two things I want you to do.
Yeah,
three
things.
Okay, well, let's say three things. Sorry, as I say, I'm correcting myself. Okay, number one, I want you to write down on a piece of paper, oh my gosh, Mom, that's so terrible. I'm so sorry. What are you going to do about it? Okay, I want you to write that down, put it by the phone, or carry it around.
Carry it with you. Wherever she calls you, wherever your cell is, you have that right there.
And every time you want to lecture your mom or tell her what to do or help her fill in the blanks or try to connect her with new resources or talk her off the cliff, whatever.
Whatever way you want to fix it,
I want you to just read that statement. Oh my gosh, Mom, I'm so sorry you're going through that. What do you think you want to do about it? And then don't say anything else, okay?
Okay, now make sure you've heard, Greg, because I know a lot of people are going to try to employ this, and they're going to say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And then they're going to forget the most important part of what you have her writing down. And what do you want to do about it? Highlight it.
Yeah. It's not about you, Carrie. It's not about you fixing this. It's got to be about her. Now, here's why I'm saying this, okay? Somebody like your mom, and this is not a pretty metaphor, but I think it's an accurate metaphor. Do you know how if you're feeling nauseated and you actually throw up, you feel better afterward. That's kind of what's happening with your mom. She's emotionally vomiting all over you. You get the sick all over you, but she feels fine now, okay? And then you get to carry it around stinking all day. Again, I told you it wasn't going to be a pretty metaphor, but it's exactly where you're at, okay? The only way to avoid that is by saying to her, gosh, Mom, I'm so sorry you're going through that. What do you think you want to do about it? When she says, well, I don't know. Well, maybe you ought to figure that out. Well, I don't know. You tell me. Like, well, Mom, I've given you lots of resources. What do you think you want to do? I don't know. So number two, I want you to contact senior services in your county and see if they would be willing to do an in-home evaluation, because this is a situation that requires in-home family therapy, and senior services could hook you up with that potentially. So go ahead, and people don't often realize that that's a thing. So go ahead and contact your county senior services office and see if they'll be willing to do an in-home evaluation and maybe make a referral to in-home family therapy for them. Finally, I'd like you to pick up a copy of our book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, which really talks about how to set these kinds of emotional boundaries that, you know, you can't check out. They're your parents, right? So you have to be involved in some way, but you can be involved in a way that's actually healthy and that doesn't make you crazy. We talk about how to do that in Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. You can pick that up at CatholicCounselors.com or EWTN Religious Catalog as well. That's all the time we've got for today's program. Thanks so much for being with us. If you'd like to learn more about all the ways we can help you live a more emotionally healthy life, check out all of our resources at CatholicCounselors.com or call to speak with a counselor, make an appointment to speak with a counselor, rather, at 740-266-6461. God bless, folks. Have a great day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.